We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. We begin from the end of the second line from the top, Azal Rav Mordechai. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Rav Shalom Cohen ben Tfach HaMalka, Yair ben Tov, Anaim ben Chatun, Yom Tov ben Chana, Shaul ben Latife, Erez ben Miriam, Baruch ben Shelomo, Luba bat Mazal, Chaya Esther Chava bat Sarah, Eva Shelomit bat Ilana Esther, Rivka bat Devorah, Eta Rivka bat Mordechai, and Sulika bat Chana, Alehem HaShalom. Also, Lizchut Refuah Shlema for Elisheva bat Neta, Esther bat Sara, Chana bat Sulika, and Gabriela Masuda bat Sara. The Gemara here is discussing the Machloket Amoraim that we just saw, how to explain our Mishnah. The Mishnah says if the husband wrote in the Ketubah a waiver of his rights to have his wife swear, to make his wife make a shvuah, if he waives that right, he says, Neder u'shvuah en li alayich, en yachol yashbiah, he cannot make her swear. So the Gemara asked, what shvuah are we referring to in the Mishnah? Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, it's referring to the shvuah of apotropia shenaset b'chaye ba'ala, the top line by us, on Pezayin. That the shvuah, that if she is appointed as administrator over his property or a storekeeper, then normally he can have her swear regarding the property of the merchandise of the store. So the Mishnah is talking about when he waives that right of that shvuah. Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabba Baravua, that it's also referring to the shvuah of pogemet ketubata. Pogemet ketubata means when she admits that she already received partial payment of her ketubah, so then normally there is a shvuah obligation. She has to swear that she didn't receive more and she can collect the rest. It's called pogemet ketubata. Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabba Baravua, is saying that our Mishnah is referring to that as well, that the husband can waive the right for that shvuah. So the Gemara continues and says, Azal Rav Mordechai Amarah Lishma'ata Kameh de Rav Ashe. Rav Mordechai, who was a Talmid of Rav Ashe, he went and he said over this teaching in front of his Rebbe, Rav Ashe. He asked the following. And he said, "Bishlama leman de'amar al hapogemet ketubata." It's understood according to Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Baravua that says that our Mishnah is referring to the shvuah of pogemet ketubata. So then you could say that the scenario was that the wife asked from her husband that he should waive his rights, he should forgive his right of having her swear if she ever admits to partial payment. Demaska adata, because she thinks in her mind, it comes up to her, Dilma mitstarchili zuzi veshakilna miktubatai. Because maybe the time will come when I'm going to need some money and I'm going to take, partial payment from the ktubah. Ve'amrale, and therefore she says to him, please, ktovli delo mashbatli. Can you write down that you're not going to make me swear? But according to Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, who says that in our Mishnah, when it says when a husband waives his right for shvuah, it's only referring to al apotropia shenaset b'chaye ba'ala, when she's appointed as an administrator over his property in the lifetime of her husband, ihi mihavat yada demotiv la apotropia. I mean, what's the scenario here? How could it be that at the time of the ketubah, when they got married, she already asked him that waive your right to such a shvua? Does she think that does she know that at one point she's going to become, appointed as administrator? Miyad havat yada, does she know the motiv la apotropia, that he's going to make her an apotropus? De amra le, that she already asks him in the beginning, ktovli delo mashbatli? Write for me that you will not make me swear. In other words, Rav Mordechai is asking Rav Ashi, he's saying, I understand the scenario of her asking him at the time of the ketubah writing to waive the shvua of pogemet ketubata, because that she sees as a possibility in the future. She might need money, and that's a partial payment of the ketubah. So she's asking him now, please make write down for me that you're not going to make me swear. But regarding the shvuah of apotropus, that's only if down the line he ever makes her an administrator. How is she already thinking like that at the time of marriage when they're writing the ketubah? Why is she asking him to write that, to waive the shvuah of such an obligation? So Amar Le, so Rav Ashi answered Rav Mordechai. He said like this: Atuna hamatnitula. You learned the halacha, the explanation of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, who said al apotropia shenaset b'chayi ba'ala. You learned it that it is an explanation on the beginning of our Mishnah, which talks about the shvuah that the husband writes in the ketubah. So you learn that he's arguing with Rav Nachman how to explain that part. And really, you have a good question. If that's the case, how does the woman know that she's going to become an administrator so that she already is asking from the beginning to have the right of making her swear be waived? But anan ahamat ninanla. But we actually learn these words of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav as an explanation of the end of the Mishnah, of the Seifa. Not in the beginning. Really, in the beginning, where it says that the husband writes that he waives the rights to a shvuah, Rav Yehuda agrees with Rav Nachman that it's referring to the shvuah of pogemet ketubata. But when Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, al apotropia shenaset b'chaye ba'ala, he's talking about the last part of the Mishnah, which is, quote, halcha mikever ba'ala levet aviha, after the funeral of her husband. Her husband died, and she went to the house of her father. O shechazra lebet chamiha, or she went to the house of her father-in-law. Ve'lo na'aset apotropia, and she was not appointed an administrator in the interim. So then, ena yorshim mashbi'im ota, the heirs, the husband's inheritors, they cannot make her swear about anything. Ve'im na'aset apotropia, if at that point she's appointed an administrator over the estate, over the property of the deceased husband, so then it says in the Mishnah at the end, Yorshim mashbi'im ota al he'atid lavo. The heirs can make her swear regarding the future dealings. Future meaning after all the dealings that she had after the husband died. Ve'en mashvim utal she'avar, but not on the past. So now, on this there was a question, she'avar may avidete. What is the meaning of the past? Meaning, what shvuah would they have her swear with regards to the past? Till when do we consider it the past that they're not supposed to make her swear? And from what point and on do we say it's considered already the money of the heirs and they could make her swear? It was on this question that Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, al apotropia shenaset b'chaya baal, that she is patur from swearing regarding anything that happened during the time in her husband's lifetime, when she was made, if she was made an administrator then, well, then she doesn't have to swear because he already waived his rights. Aval ben mita likvura, but if she became an apotropus, if she became an administrator on the property of the orphans, meaning after the husband died, so then mashbi'inan la, regarding dealings of that time after the husband died, they have the right to make her swear. So that's what Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, was explaining. V'Rav Matna Amar, and Rav Matna argued with Rav and said, Afilu ben mita likvura lo mashvi'inan la, that even regarding the time between the death and the burial, they cannot make her swear. The Amri Nehardae, because the Chachamim of Nehardae said that lekarga velimzone velikvura mezabninan belo achrazda. For the purpose of the following three payments, karga, that's head tax, taxes, velimzone, and for the purpose of payment to provide sustenance for the children, velikvura, and for the expenses of burial, mezabninan, we sell from the property that was inherited already by the orphans, belo achrazta, without any announcement, which means, in regards to these urgent needs, the Beit Din is not particular about a possible small loss that is incurred by the heirs. So therefore, similarly, also, the woman, according to Rav Matna, would not have to swear regarding how she conducted, you know, the dealings of her husband's funeral, or what expenses she had, because in such time of stress, we give her leeway. She cannot manage her accounts in a precise way. And therefore, Rav Matna held, even regarding the period of time between the death of her husband and the burial, lo mashbinana, we don't make her swear. Okay? Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Chiya. Rabba says, in the name of Rabbi Chiya, if let's say the husband wrote, delo neder u delo shevua, not a vow and not a shevua, so then that means he cannot make her swear, but the heirs can make her swear. Neki neder neki shvua. If let's say he writes in the ketubah, you are clear, that means exempt from making a neder, a vow, or a shvua, taking an oath, then ben hu uven yorshim en mashvi'im ota. Then he cannot make her swear, nor can the inheritors, the heirs, make her swear. Hachika amala, because this is what he means to say to her when he writes these words. Menakiat mishvuata, you are totally clear from any obligation to swear, no matter who seeks to make you swear. That's according to Rabba in the name of Rabbi Chiya. V'Rav Yosef amar Rabbi Chiya. However, Rav Yosef argues with Rabba what Rabbi Chiya said. He says, this is what Rabbi Chiya said. Delo neder udelo shvua, hu eno yechol ashbia aval yorshim ashbim ota. Yes, I agree. If he just wrote no vow and no shevua, it means he cannot make her swear, but the Yoshim could. If he writes neki neder neki shevua, ben hu uben Yoshim mashbi'im ota. In this case, if he writes neki neder, clear from vow and from oath, so then both he or the Yoshim or the heirs can make her swear. You know why? Because in effect, this is what he is writing when he says these words. Naki nafshach bishvuata. Clear yourself from any suspicion by means of a shvua. That's what he meant when he says, neki neder neki shvua. Through a neder and shvua, become naki, become clear of any suspicion. So that's a machloket between Rabbi and Rav Yosef, what Rabbi Chiya said regarding the nusach, the words of neki neder neki shvua. Shalach Rabbi Zakkai lemar Ukva. Rabbi Zakkai sent the following psak to Mar Ukva. Ben delo shvua, ben denaki shvua, ben delo neder, ben denaki neder. Whether he wrote delo shvua, or whether he wrote denaki shvua, whether he wrote delo neder, or denaki neder, it depends as follows. If he added ben yichsai, with regards to my property, then hu eno yachol ashbia, aval yorshim mashbiim ota. He cannot make her swear, but when he is deceased, the heirs can make her swear. He said ben nichsai, in my property, which means as long as it's my property. Minichsaya ilen, however, if he added the phrase from these properties, you are exempt from swearing. So then ben hu uben yorshav en mashbiim ota. Neither he nor the heirs can make her swear. Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Shmuel, Mishum Abba Shaul ben Ima Miriam. Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, said, Shmuel said, in the name of Abba Shaul, the son of Ima Miriam. Ben delo shvua, ben denaki shvua, ben delo neder, ben denaki neder, ben minichsai, u ben minichsaya ilen, in all these instances, whether he wrote delo shvua, or denaki shvua, or delo neder, or denaki neder, whether he added the phrase minichsai, my properties, or minichsaya ilen, these properties, ben hu uben yoshav en mashvim ota. Not him, nor his heirs can make her swear. Aval ma'ese, but what can I do? Sha'arei amu chachamim, as the chachamim said, habali para minichsei yetomim lo yifra ela bishvua. That one who comes to collect a debt from the property of the orphans, of the yetomim, can only collect by means of a shvua. Therefore, she is compelled to take a shvua in any case involving a claim that she will make from the yetomim. Ve'ika de'amrila, some say this halacha in a form of a braita, matnita, not as a quote of an amora, rather as a braita, matnita, abba sha'ul, meaning like this is how you read the Gemara. Ve'ika de'amrila matnita, some say it as a braita, as follows, abba sha'ul ben imamriyam amar, abba sha'ul, the son of imamriyam says, ben de lo shvua, ben de naki shvua, ben de la neder, ben naki neder, ben minichsai, ben minichsayai, len, this feels like we're saying kol nidre of upcoming Yom Kippur, ben hu u ben yorshav en mashvim ota. In all these formulas, in any one of these phrases, neither he nor the heirs can make her swear, aval ma'ese, but what can we do? Sharei amu chachamim, the sages already have said, habali para minichsei yetomim, lo yifra ela bishvua, one who comes to collect a debt to be paid from the properties of the orphans, he has to swear. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, halacha keven ima Miriam. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is indeed like the son of ima Miriam, like Abba Shaul, the son of ima Miriam. The Mishnah, the new Mishnah begins as follows, hapogemet ketubata. A woman who is pogem, now literally the word pogemet means to cause it to diminish, pogam, like a defect. But it means when she acknowledges that she received partial payment of her ketubah. That's called pogemet ketubata, right? Because now she is diminishing the amount. So hapogemet ketubata, after acknowledging that she received a partial payment and now she wants to collect the rest of her ketubah, lo tipara ela bishvua. She can only collect the rest by means of a shvua, by swearing that she didn't receive any more than that amount she said she already did receive. Ed ehad me'ida shehi perua. Similarly, if let's say there's one ed, one witness that testifies that the ketubah is paid off, and she comes and she says, what do you mean? I wasn't paid off the ketubah. Lo tipara ela bishvua. She cannot collect the ketubah unless she swears. In any case, minichsei yetomim uminichasim meshu'badim, let's say she seeks to claim her ketubah from nichsei yetomim, the property of the orphans, nechasim meshu'badim, from property that is leaned, which means that has been sold to a third party, v'shelo befanav, or when she seeks to collect not in her husband's presence, lo tipara ela bishvua, she can collect, but only by means of swearing. Now the Mishnah explains each case. Hapogemet ketubata ketzad. What is the case? What is the situation of pogemet ketubata? Haita ketubata elef zuz. If her ketubah was 1,000 zuz. Ve'amar la, and he told her, hitkabalt ketubatich. He said to her, you already received your ketubah, meaning the payment. Ve'hi omeret lo hitkabalti el amane. And she says, no, I only received 100. I only received a partial payment, which means she's admitting to a partial payment. Lo tipara ela bishvua. Then she collects the rest only by means of a shvua. The next case of the Mishnah, ed echad meida shehi prua ketzad. What's the scenario of one witness? Haita ketubata elef zuz. Her ketubah was made out for 1,000 zuz. Ve'amar la itkabalt ketubatich. And he said to her, you received your ketubah. Ve'yomeret lo itkabalti, and she says, no, I never received the payment. Ve'ed echad me'ida she'ipua, and there is one witness who's saying that it was paid off. Lo tipara ela bishvua. Now she cannot collect unless she swears that she didn't receive more, that she didn't receive the payment of the ketubah. Minechasim meshu'badim ketzad. What's the case of nechasim meshu'badim? Machar nechasav le'acherim. Let's say while they were married, the husband sold his property to other people. Ve'hi nifra'at min alekuhot. And she comes to collect the money of her ketubah from those who purchased the properties. That's called nechasim meshu'badim. Lo tipara ela bishvua. She can collect, but only by means of an oath, of swearing. מנכסי יתומים כיצד? What's the scenario of נכסי יתומים? מת והניח נכסיו ליתומים. If the husband died and he left his property to the orphans, והיא נפרעת מן היתומים and she's coming to collect her כתובה from the orphans, לא תיפרע אלא בשבועה. She can collect only with the שבועה. ושלא בפניו, and finally the case of שלא בפניו, what is that? Not in his presence. הלך לו למדינת הים. If let's say he went to a country overseas, and from there he sent her a get to divorce her, והיא נפרעת שלא בפניו, and therefore she's collecting her כתובה not in his presence, אינה נפרעת אלא בשבועה, she has to swear. And the Mishnah ends off here on the top of Pezayin Amud Bet by telling us Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kol zman shi tovat ktubata, whenever she's claiming her payment of her ktuba, hayorshim mashbi'im ota. The yorshim, the heirs, the orphans, can make her swear. Ve'imena tovat ktubata, if she's not claiming payment of her ktuba, en hayorshim mashbi'im ota, they cannot make her swear. Now these words of Rabbi Shimon need to be explained. Is he arguing on anyone? Who is he arguing on? And what is he saying? All that will be explained in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara starts by the following. Savar Rami Bar Chama lemeimar shvua deoraita. Rami Bar Chama thought to say that, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, that the obligation of swearing by pogemet ktubata, when she admits to partial payment, that this is a shvua that is required mideoraita. Because this is the classic case of mode b'miktzat. One who admits to partial payment has to swear and collect the rest, right? That's a shvuat mode b'miktzat. So in this case of the woman by pogemet ktubata, Rami Bar Chama thought, this is an obligation of a shvua mideoraita. Dekatayin matayim v'kamodele b'me'a. Because in a case of where the husband is claiming that he paid, let's say, 200, and she is admitting only to 100, havyale hoda b'miktzat ha'tana, that's a classical case of admitting to part of the claim, v'chol abonde b'miktzat ha'tana yishava. And we know that anyone who admits to part of a claim has to swear to receive the remaining amount, mideoraita. So Rami Bar Chama held, or he thought, that the shvua of pogemet ktubata in the beginning of our Mishnah is a deoraita shvua. Amar Rava shetet teshuvot badavar. Rava said there are two refutations to your statement. Chada, number one, dekol hanishbaim shebatorah nishbaim velo meshalmim, because all the shvuot min haTorah, anyone who's obligated to swear in the Torah, is a case where nishba'im ve'lo meshalmim, where they swear and they don't have to pay. Meaning, that mideoraita, one swears to exempt himself from payment. Ve'hi nishba'at ve'notelet. Over here in this case, she's swearing and she's taking money. So that's number one. Can't say it's shvua deoraita. Ve'od, and number two, en nishba'im al kfirat shibud karkaot. There is a principle that one does not swear regarding kfirat shibud karkaot, a denial of lien on the land. Which means, the shvuot mideoraita, Rava is saying, only apply to metaltelim, to movable property, not to land. Which means that if a claim involves a shibud on land, of any way, such as over here by the ktuba, so then the shvua of miktzat, of partial admission, does not apply. And since in the ketubah over here, this involves a shibud on land, so the shvua cannot be mideoraita. Ela amar Rava, therefore Rava argues with Rami Bar Chama, and he says, miderabanan. Really, this shvua of pogemet ketubata is only miderabanan, was instituted by our chachamim. And the reason for it is because depara daik, the one who pays, he's more precise. And he could remember that he paid the debt. Demifra ladayik, whereas normally the one who is paid is not precise. So when the husband claims that he paid her, he remembers clearly what happened. Veramu rabanan shevua ala ki heichid etidok. Therefore, chachamim imposed the obligation of shevua upon her so that she should be precise and remember exactly what happened. Ibaya lehu. The Gemara now raises a question. Pogemet ketubata be'edim mahu. If let's say the woman admits that the husband paid partially, a partial payment of the ketubah, she says he paid it in front of edim, in front of witnesses. Mahu, what's the halakha? Do we say in this case also she has to swear? Maybe in this case she doesn't have to, and the Gemara explains the two sides of the safik. Do we say, im ita de parah, if it's true what he's saying, that he paid off everything, be'edim hava parala, he would pay it off in front of witnesses, just like he paid off that partial amount that she says with in the presence of edim. So if it's true that he paid off the rest, then he would do it in front of edim also. Where are the witnesses? So maybe she doesn't have to swear. Or do we say, o dilma itramuye itramile? Or maybe it just simply happened to be that witnesses were available for that part of the payment, and he gave it to her then, and the rest he gave her without witnesses, and therefore she has to swear. Which means the fact that he paid her the first part in front of edim is not necessarily a proof that if he were to pay the rest, he would also do it in front of edim. It just happens to be maybe that edim were available in the beginning. But maybe he paid the rest not in front of edim, and therefore she would have to swear. So this is the question. Pogemet ketubata be'edim, what's the halacha? Does she have to swear also or not? So the Gemara brings us suggests a proof from the following, from a Mishnah in Masechet Shvuot. Tashema, come in here, a Mishnah. Kol anishba'im shebat Torah nishba'im velo meshalmim. Or anyone who's obligated to swear, minat Torah, midoraita, nishba'im velo meshalmim. They are cases of those who swear and do not have to pay and exempt themselves from paying. Ve'elu nishba'im venotlim. However, the following are people who swear and take payment and collect. Hasachil, the hired worker who's demanding his wages from his boss, from his employer. Vehanigzal, one who was robbed. Vehanichbal, one who was injured, and they're claiming compensation for the damage. Veshekenegdo chashud al hashvura. And also, in a case where the one who's opposing him, the other litigant in the case, he was really supposed to swear, but he is chashud al hashvua. He's a person who's suspected regarding swearing in vain. So then, in that case, we flip the shvua, the obligation of swearing, on the one who's going to collect. Ve'chenvani al pinkaso. And a chenvani, a storekeeper, who is making a claim al pinkaso, on the basis of what's written in his pinkas, in his notebook. Ve'hapogem shtaro shelo be'edim. And one who admits to receiving partial payment of his shtar, of his document, not in presence of edim. These are people who swear, the Mishnah says, and they collect. Oh, so we see, let's make a diuk from the last words over here. Shelo be'edim in, be'edim lo. When do they swear? That's only if they admit pogem shtaro, like pogemet ktubata, admitting to partial payment, not in the presence of edim. But if they're saying that they were paid in front of edim, it sounds like then they would not have to swear. So maybe in this case, she would not have to swear. The Gemara, however, says it's not a proof from that Mishnah. Lo mibaya kama, because the Mishnah is speaking in a style of, I don't have to tell you. It's not necessary to say. And the Gemara explains. Lo mibaya be'edim. It's not necessary to tell you that if she's saying, or if he's saying, that part of the payment was paid be'edim in presence of witnesses, devaday tzircha shvua, in that case she certainly requires to swear. Aval shelo be'edim, but in the case where it's not in front of edim, eima teheve kemeshiva veda, maybe we should consider her like a person who's restoring an aveda, who's returning a lost item. Which means, since there are no witnesses that he paid anything, so when she is admitting that she received partial payment, she didn't have to do that. She could have always said, I never got any payment. And yes, she's admitting on her own, without any edim, that she received partial payment. So then, v'tishkol belo shevua, she should be able, maybe, I would think, to take the rest of the money without a shevua.
just like the halakha is regarding a person who's meshiva veda, who returns lost property, he doesn't have to swear that he didn't take any part to himself. He's doing you a favor that he's returning aveda, and now you make him swear. So I would have thought the same case over here. That's what kamashmalan. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us, that even if it's shelo be'edim, still the person has to swear. But be'edim surely would have to swear. So that's, therefore, there's no proof either way from that Mishnah. The Gemara now raises another question. They had a question, the Chachamim. Hapogemet ketubata pachot pachot mishave pruta mahu. Let's say a woman who is admitting to partial payment of her ketubah, pachot pachot mishave pruta, meaning she's giving all the details to the precise amount of every amount that she received. She specifies not only the big amounts, even the smallest amounts that are less than shave pruta. She's being very specific as to what she has received. In that case, mahu, what's the halacha? Does she have to swear? Mi amrinan, do we say, kevan de kadaika kulehai, since she is being so exact, kushta ka amra, she's saying the truth, she must be saying the truth, and therefore she doesn't have to swear. Or do we say, she's deceiving us, she's playing a trick on us to make as if she is being honest, but really it's not true, and she would, meaning really we should obligate her to swear nonetheless. Teku, the Gemara says, this question remains unresolved. Ibaya lehu, another question. Pohetet ketubata, in a case where a woman reduces her ketubah, that means by saying that the sum, the amount of money, was less than the usual amount, or even less than the amount that is specified in the ketubah. Which means like this, let's say for example, the ketubah was for 1,000 zuz, it says there. And he says, the husband is claiming he paid off all the 1,000 zuz. And she says to him, no, you didn't pay anything. But I admit that the ketubah was not for, the agreement was not for 1,000, it was only for 100. But you owe me 100, you didn't even pay that 100. That's called pochetet ketubah. Mahu, what's the halacha? In this case, does she have to swear? And the Gemara explains the safek. Mi amrinan hainu pogemet? Do we say that this is the same halakha as the case of pogemet, meaning a regular case where she admits to partial payment, and therefore she has to swear? O dilma, or do we say, no, pogemet that has to swear because she's modia bemikzat, because she's admitting that she received partial payment, therefore there is a shvua. Ha, loka modia bemikzat, but over here by the pohetet, she's not admitting even to partial payment. Right? She's only saying that the sum of the agreement of the ketubah was less, but she's saying she didn't receive anything. So maybe in this case, being that maybe we shouldn't say that she was paid partial and therefore she was paid everything. She's not admitting to being paid partially. So maybe in this case, she doesn't have to swear. The Gemara says, Tashema, come in here, the answer to this from a braita. Pohetet, the Baita says, this case of pohetet, tipara bel shelo bishvua. She can collect without a shvua. Open Baita that says this. Ketzad, the Baita explains, what's the case of pohetet? Haita ketubata 1,000 zuz. If the ketubah was written out for 1,000 zuz. Ve'amar la itkabalt ketubatich. And he said, I paid you up full. Ve'hi omeret lo itkabalti. She says, no, I didn't receive any payment. Ve'ena ela mane. But I do admit that the ketubah was only written out, or the agreement was only to 100, not to 1,000. Nifra'at shelo bishvua. She may collect and without a shvua. So now the Gemara asks on this, b'mai gavya. What is she collecting payment with? With what is she collecting her payment? B'hai shtara? Is she collecting her payment with this shtar, with this document of the ketubah? Hai shtara chaspa be'almahu. But this document right now is like a piece of cheres, a piece of clay. Because she herself, she's admitting that the shtar, that the ketubah is not a valid one, because it's writing, because it wrote a wrong number. She's admitting that this shtar is nothing. So exactly how is she collecting? With what document is she collecting anything? Amarava berei de Rabba, Rava, the son of Rabba, answered, Beomeret, the Braita is referring to a case where she says, Amana haitali beni leveno. we had an agreement of trust. Amana means an agreement of trust between me and him, that even though the ketubah says 1,000, I'm only going to claim part of it. So in other words, she's saying, really, the shtar is genuine. It's just that we agreed on that amount, that that's only a symbolic amount. But the actual amount to be collected would be less. In that case, the shtar is valid, and that is what she is using to collect her amount of 100. Now, the Mishnah said, Ed echad me'idah shehi pru'a. If, let's say, the husband claims that he paid up, she's claiming that he didn't pay anything. And there is one witness, there's an Ed echad that agrees with the husband, that says that he paid up. So it says in the Mishnah, she has to swear in order to collect. Once again, Sava Rami Bar Chama lememar shvua deoraita. Rami Bar Chama thought to say, oh, this is also a classic shvua mideoraita. Dichtiv, as it says in the Torah, lo yakum ed echad be'ish lechol avon ulchol chatat, the testimony of one witness should not rise up against a person to any sin. And we learn out from this pasuk, famous drasha, lechol avon ulchol chatat hu de'enokam. The testimony of one witness is not enough to indict someone on a sin, to be punished. Aval kam hu lishvua. But to obligate an oath, to obligate a shvuah, it is effective. Which means midoraita, you have what's called, just like you have shvuat modeh b'miktzat that we spoke about before, you have shvuat ed echad. Ve'amarmar, and we learned, kol makom shehashnayim v'chayivim oto mamon, in any case, in any situation, where two witnesses, if they were there, would make him liable to pay money, echad mechayivo shvuah. When there is one witness, he obligates him to swear. So Rami Bar Chama is thinking, this case in the Mishnah where there is an ed echad against her and she has to swear, this is a shvuah midoraita. Once again, Rava argued with Rami Bar Chama and he said, Amar Rava, shetet teshuvot badavar. Rava says there are two refutations to this. Chada, number one, de kol hanishbaim shebatorah nishbaim velo meshalmim. All those who swear mina Torah are in a case where they swear and they are exempt from paying. In this case, she's swearing in order to collect. That's not midoraita. And furthermore, midoraita, we have a principle that one does not swear in regards to any denial on something that has a lien, a shibud on land. And the ketubah is something that has a shibud karkaot. So therefore, midoraita, there's no shvua over here. So you can't say that the shvua in the Mishnah is midoraita. It must be, ela amar Rava. Rather, Rava says, midrabanan. The obligation to make her swear in this case is midrabanan. And the reason is, kedeh lehafis da'ato shel baal, in order to put the husband's mind at ease. Which means, since we have a ed echad over here, one witness who contradicts her claim, so the Chachamim imposed a shvuah on her so that the husband will be sure that he's not giving away his money just like that for no reason. So therefore, she should swear in order to collect. Let's continue on a little bit more into Pechet Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Papa says, Ipikeachu, if the husband in this case is smart, so then he can actually maiti la lideh shvuah deoraita. In fact, he can make her become obligated to swear a shvua mideoraita, which is much more serious, if he would like. So, how could he do that? What should he do? He can do like this. Yahiv la ketubata be'apechad sahada. Let him now, give her the payment for the entire ketubah right now, in the presence of another ed. Let him bring another witness, and give her the payment of the full ketubah right now. V'samich sahada kama asahada batra. And then he can combine the first witness with this new witness. He already has the first witness who testified that he paid originally one time the entire ketubah. Now he has a witness that he paid, and he joins another witness that he paid in front of these two now, the ketubah, again, and then what he does, umukim lehu lehanach kamai bemilve, and then he can establish that the first payment about which the first ed echad testified, he's establishing it as a loan. and now he's going to claim payment of that loan from her. And that is supported by the testimony of one Ed. So now, regarding this claim, she's going to have to swear in order to be exempt from payment, right? That is a Shvua Midoraita, right? As Rava said, well, one of the reasons why Rava said that the Shvua in our Mishnah is only Midrabanan is because over here she is swearing in order to collect. But here he's making it a scenario that she'll have to swear in order not to pay, right? In order to be exempt. So in this case, that would be a Shvua Deoraita. So if he's smart, he can do that, says Rav Papa. Matkifla Rav Shesha bered Ravidi. Rav Shesha, the son of Ravidi, however, asked a strong question to Rav Papa. He'ach samich sa'ada kama sa'ada batra? How can he join the first witness with the last one? I mean, their testimonies do not refer to the same action. After all, the first one is testifying that he paid off, let's say, a month ago, the whole payment. And now this second one who is standing there is only testifying regarding the payment that he's doing now. How do you join two witnesses like that as a unit of two edim? Can't do that. Again, he's asking on what Rav Papa said, if you looked in the words that he said, Yahiv la ktubata be'apechat sahada. Let him pay her now, again, the full ktubah, in front of one ed, and then he joins the two edim and he brings them to bedin. So how could you join them when each one saw a different payment? Ela amar Rav Shesha bered Ravidi. Rather, this is how you should do it. Yahiv la ktubata be'apei sahada kama ve'sahada batra. He should make sure to give her the full payment of ktubah right now in front of both edim. Meaning first bring that original first ed, come to bedin, bring another one. Now you have two edim in front of them, you pay. Oh, so then that they could, you can join them because they both see the payment right now. Umukim la lehanach kamai behalva'a, and then establish the first payment that you claim that you did as a halva'a, as a loan, and demand the loan payment. And now she's going to have to swear mideoraita shvua dedechad to be exempt from payment. Matkifla Ravashi. Ravashi is asking a strong question on this. Even if he pays her now in front of two edim, Akati yechola lememar shtei ktubot avai. She could still claim that there were two ktubot written for her benefit. And since there is one ed that saw that he paid her two times, right? That one of these two edim saw two payments, right? So he's helping her out, in fact, by testifying that there were two ktubot, meaning she can make a claim, yeah, there were two ktubot that he owed me. And you know what the proof is? Look, this ed echad can prove to you, he's testifying that he paid me that once, and he's paying now again. There were two ktubot. Ela amar Ravashi, hu demoda lehu. Ravashi says, hu demoda lehu, the husband has to notify these two edim now that he really already paid up the ktubot. And now he's just symbolically paying up again because he wants to collect the first payment and he wants it with a Shavua Deoraita. So in this case, the original first, the Ed Echad, the witness who saw two payments, he's not going to help out the claim of the woman who says two ktubot. She's not going to be believed to say there were two ktubot. Because first of all, this is not something that is common. And this original Ed Echad is not going to help her out. He knows that the husband is only doing this as a tactic to get her to do Shvua Deoraita, not because there were two ktubot involved. That's how it should be done. So Rav Ashi completes here the strategy by saying that the husband has to notify the edim as to what he is doing. And in addition to what Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi said, both of them should be present when he's making that second payment, and this way she becomes obligated in a Shvuah de'oraita.